Vox, great for coming. A recap of what happened last week. Point you said this last week was that a lekeach who buys something and is a mum, he has three. There are three stages to such a lekeach in terms of his responsibility of shmirah. First step is when he found, even prior to finding the mum, and something would happen to the item. What din does he have on that chayfetz? In which we said that he's a shei mechinam till he finds the mum. He'd be pot on gneva va'aveda. The second stage is when he first discovers the mum, he had not yet returned it during, he had not even notified the seller during that period, that window, that middle stage. We said he's a shei mesacha. The reason being is because he needs the item to have leverage to go back to the seller to get back his money. So he has a svara concept of tofes le'azuzi. That makes him have anah. That's a shem esach and yischayfa gneva vaveda. And the third and final stage is we have already notified the merchant. Please do me a favor, take back your garbage, take back your defective item. And at that point, he goes back down to a shem echinam, and he's only responsible for pshia. And we discussed also as well that mika adin the chiv of chazara of returning this defective item to the seller is the responsibility of the seller, unless the lekeach took it to some far place which he was not supposed to take it, which was not the norm, then he would have to bring it back. We said today maybe the minig overrides a certain part of that. But basically what we're going to concentrate tonight, in the first sif that we're going to cover tonight, sifchav beis, that is again we're going to reinforce this idea of the stages of shmirah, and then I'm going to share with you a story which really drives home this point. Sifchav beis is siman reish lamed beis sifchav beis. Halokeach mekach v'nimtza boi mum. If someone purchases an item and he finds a mum, v'achakach, and subsequent after he discovered the mum, avad oynignav, it was stolen, it was lost or stolen, harehu b'shus halokeach, it is the responsibility of the lokeach, it's his loss, because like I said, he's a shei mesach. At that point in time where he already discovered the mum, he is a shei mesach and he's chayfa gneva v'aveda. Until he returns the mekach to the meicha, or until he properly notifies the meicha, he tells the meicha, take back your item, I'm not withholding it for any payment, for any refund, take it back, and then make a cheshbon with me, and at that point he would no longer be a shei mesacha, and he would be part of a gneva v'aveda. But here, correct, I'm giving you more mefarshim here, correct. But basically the mechaber is really talking about a case where he discovered the mum, and something happened to it. It got lost or stolen, even prior to even having an opportunity to notify the seller. It happened immediately. He didn't even have the chance to notify the seller. And in that case, he'd be a shei mesacha, and he'd be chayfa gneva v'aveda. The misliya, however, if it gets rotten, or nifsad machmas amum, or some other damage happened to it, machmas amum, because of the mum. The mum, it was old cheese, whatever, it was spoiled, whatever it was on the spoiling stages, it's going to be spoiled, and there's nothing you can do, you're helpless, which is alive like an oinis, hareze b'shus meicha, then it's going to be the responsibility of the seller, and you have a right to go back to the seller. It means you weren't, it was nothing that happened to it that you could have protected, it wasn't like neva v'aveda that you could have protected and watched it properly, it went back, it got ruined by itself, actually it got ruined because of something that was inherent in the item that was the seller's fault to begin with. However, even in this last case of an oinus, of spoilage, if he had the opportunity to notify the seller, and he should have notified the seller, and the seller would have taken it back and consumed it before it would be totally spoiled or used it in some other fashion, and he did not properly notify him, then he's at fault because he didn't properly notify the merchant. He didn't bother to notify the merchant, he's at fault because he caused damage to the seller's item, and he could have prevented that by notifying him and giving it back. However, in the normal case, going back to the beginning of the Mechaber, we're talking about a case where there was no time to notify the seller, and therefore, once he notices the mum, he would be chayef for gneva v'aveda. That is the shitas of Mechaber. Now, we had a case, interesting case, unfortunate case, was that someone purchased a used car, and he brought it, shortly after he purchased the car, something was defective, the car wasn't working properly, he brought it to a mechanic. And the mechanic told him that there's something seriously wrong with the car, with the engine, I believe it was, transmission maybe it was, something seriously wrong with the car, and it was there all along. There's something, a defect that the mumcha, this mechanic, knows, was there already prior to 2 weeks ago, prior to the time that he purchased the car, which would nullify the mechir, which is grounds for a mekach tois. So the buyer told the mechanic, don't bother fixing it, because he has no interest in keeping the car. He plans on returning it back to the seller. He says, don't bother fixing it. I'll come and pick it up. So the mechanic says, fine, no problem, come and pick it up. The bill is going to be $50 for the charge. In the meantime, he didn't come and pick it up that night. The following day, when he came to pick up his car, it was gone. It was stolen. It was stolen off the mechanic's property. So now, vis-a-vis between the mechanic and the lokeach, he hired him. He owes him $50 for the service that the mechanic supplied him. In the meantime, the mechanic is not going to be chayav for gneva v'aveda, because the mechanic told him the job was already done. The mechanic told him, go pick it up. The mechanic wasn't holding on to the car for payment. So at that point in time, the mechanic would be no longer shem mesach, which is in hilchos umnim shin vav. We're not going to get into it tonight. But basically, from the mechanic's point of view, this lokeach is out $50. Now, to go back to the moika and claim a mekach tois because there's something wrong with transmission, that's very nice, but the car was stolen, and since you've already noticed the mum prior to its being stolen, you're going to be chayv for gneva v'aveda, and so he was shortchanged from both ways. There was one, I guess, silver lining, redeeming thing, is that which he's chayv for gneva v'aveda is only on a inferior car, on a defective car. Which is, let's say, for example, he paid, I don't remember what he paid for the car, but let's say he paid at that time, he paid $2,000 for a used car. And because of this problem with the transmission, it was only worth $1,000. So mitzad mekach tois, he could not go back to the merchant and get back his $2,000. And now, because he was, it was nignav and nevad, and he was a shoy mesach, which was chayv for gneva v'aveda, so he'd only be chayv on the car which was actually stolen. It was a defective car which was stolen, which was only worth $1,000. So he only lemaisa lost out $1,000 between him and the seller, and he got back $1,000. But it was a sad story. Here he got burnt mitzad the mechanic, he had to pay a $50 bill, and here he got burnt mitzad the mechir because the car was stolen, and he was chayv for gneva v'aveda. You could always do that. You could always play hard, you know, but there's no reason to believe that the mechanic was saying, and the thing had no reason. He's Neman, he's a mumch, he's an Eid Echad Kach, right? But if you have two mechanics, that's what you're supposed to do. You go to two mechanics if you need a Hilchus Eidus to prove that the mum was there before. But there's no reason not to believe the mechanic. I mean, okay, you've had experiences with the mechanic. We believe him, we believe. Believe the mechanic. It wasn't like you had a mechanic that, you know, was trying to, sometimes. Because a lot of times, there's no reason. You trust, so you told him you brought it to Ruvain, who's a mechanic, and he's a known mechanic in town, and you yourself maybe used Ruvain, and you have no reason to doubt his opinion. But like all the time, every time, and we take it to an extreme. Every time the guy said that it was a mum, maybe it happened afterwards. All these cases, he always could play hardball. Here, the mumka guy that said it was before, but yes, he could always bring it to another mumka for a second opinion.
In my experience, the minig is the mechanic doesn't give you the car to pay. So, lemaisa, most of the time, mechanic is the mechanic.
For shem v'sachar. Okay, that could be. And a chanami, if the mechanic is withholding, he doesn't want to release a car till he gets payment, and a chanami. That would be a shame of sock on his end.
Unless you make a special deal with him, you know, pay you later. But usually they want the money before they hand you the keys.
Okay. Fine.
Yeah, but I'm saying, unless you have something.
Why would it otherwise pay it?
No, in this case, what happened was the mechanic told him you could pick up the car, and the bill was $50. He told Tolu Shacho, V'havamoy. So which that statement, Tolo Shokov, since he prefaced Tolo Shokov, V'havamoy, it means he's in mask and that you can go pick up the car without giving money. If the minig is not like that.
Yes, you would ask the mechanic if you were nice enough to pick up the car without paying
the car. Pashas, he would have, right. He would have given back the car. Right, he's saying that the mechanics that he experienced with do not. So in the Konami, those talking to the mechanic would be a shame as lacha.
The guy could have come
and
take his car. That's
not
the car was stolen. The lock was open. Anybody came and took the car.
Yeah, no, but he needed
the
key.
He's not going to take the car. He wasn't.
No, they keep it on overnight. It's the common, you know, practice. They keep it on overnight. But in the Konami, at that point.
If the guy was to have, like Chucky said, what was my base? How much would he owe?
The Mecha wouldn't owe anything. The Mecha would say, who said it was a Mecha toy?
No, it's okay. You have to pay the
Mecha. It was a Mecha kaim. You don't have to pay the Mecha anything. It was never bought the Mecha. It was never a Mecha toy. He would lose everything. It was never a Mecha toy. This whole is once it becomes a Mecha toy and it really retroactively belongs to the Mecha, and now you lost my car, and you're chai for Gneva Vedas. You're going to be chai for the value of the car. Yeah, if that would be the case, right? He could say, "I want to bring it to another mechanic."
Why does it have to be Nachman's Hamlum? Why can't it be just a
melee?
It's spoiled.
If it would be an oinus, he's trying to say something that it wasn't the lokeach's fault. If it's something that it was out of control, and it would be an oinus gome in a chanami. We were trying to say it was Makas Amun. There's nothing that he didn't put in the refrigerator. There's nothing that he did really wrong with it. It's something inherently wrong with the item, so it wasn't his fault. Then in a chanami. Any other questions? So we had before that from the Knesset Agdola, Rashbash, whatever we had before that Lachoy, even though Rashbash says that you only could trust Yirei Hashem, Lachoy he means in terms of Bikim, but it will be in terms of a Mumcha, which we have a concept of Loi Morum Nase, if it can apply that, then Lachoy Agoy's opinion would be fine as well. Well, the guy won't pay you, you mean? If he went into the mic, you're not going to get money from him.
What's the lokeach supposed to do right now?
If it was by the shop, you mean? So what? If it got stolen, but before it got stolen, there was a mum. And let's say we trust the guy that it was a mum. So it was a mekatos and mefreya. So this lokeach is a shem misacha, and he was mice to a guy to watch. And the shem misacha is chayv for gneva v'aveda. So you would mun the lokeach. The lokeach would lose money, and the lokeach would have to handle with the next step. We have to handle with the mechanic. The mechanic's not giving him money. He's going to be burned. So, okay, we had before that concept that if you don't give me back the item, I don't have to give you back the money. But we only found that concept when it was a pshia. If you did something wrong, or you were mazikit, or you were pshia, that therefore got lost, then there's a concept, until you give me back the chavis, I don't give you back money. But if it was a gneva v'aveda, which was not a pshia, it's a next dog, it's really a type of anoinus. It's anoinus that a shem misacha is responsible for, but it's not like you sort of ruined the item and prevented it from being returned to the seller. So then, still we have the regular halachas of a mekak toys, and then we have to just dan hukhashmir, or what din do you have on the car, or on the item, whatever it may be. Right, no, the chavis wasn't really.
You mean that, you know, that $2,000 I gave you was $2,000.
I know, but you have that concept. But you have the concept before. If, let's say, I'll give you something and you'll be mazik it and you'll be pashay it, even if it was defective and it's worth less than you purchased it. If you don't give me back the item, I don't have to give you back the money.
He could have
first of all
trusted the mechanic, but even independent of that, he could have sold it to someone else who would fix it
and
it would have
worked
more.
Okay, but it's not worth $2,000. It's a defective car. It's going to be worth considerably less. Sorry? Yeah, obviously he didn't know what he was in for. Okay, let.
What if the mechanic would have sold the car?
He was really coming to pick up the car. He wanted to bring a red back to the light. Right, and the mechanic stopped him. So that would be, again, it's in the shinva, but if the mechanic is holding on to the car and he's not willing to release it, then in a chanami, the mechanic still has his chayuvim on it. But let's save that for really for shinva. I only brought out this case to show you.
What I'm trying to do is actually, so here we're saying that the mechanic was nimtzu v'nimtzu, and then he didn't go ahead and bring it right back.
And he didn't notify or bring it right back, right?
The reason why he didn't bring it back right away is because the guy held out in the car overnight.
You mean, does that make him an oinus in such a situation? I don't know, you would have to done that case. Maybe he shouldn't have brought it to such a mechanic.
At the end of the day, the mechanic is not ready. He's not ready yet. In the meantime, he tells you right about tonight, it's not fixable. In this case, that could have happened, and then you follow up the Mekhe,
right? So he couldn't return it, but why couldn't he notify the Mekhe?
He should have called him.
Right, he should have notified the Mekhe.
If
he would have told the Mekhe that there's a moment I plan on returning it, and I'm not holding the item for money, it means Gesintahai, we'll make a chedron later, so then he's back down to a Shemachinim, and then he'd be potter if it got stolen. Okay, let's move on to Sif Chav Gimel. Sif Chav Gimel is probably the most important Sif in Hilchos Anor Mekach Tois, and possibly even the most Yisaidistic Sif in the whole Shulchan Aruch of Chayshim Mishpat. It has a few concepts which are applied very often, and a lot of them I'm sure you're familiar with. But let's start the Sif and we'll get into it. Hamoicha Shola Chavera, if someone sells a shot to a friend, v'nimtza nachin, and it's found to be a nachin, it's a wild animal, it gores. Emein lo echiach, if it's unknown, one cannot prove imkonei lecharisha oy leshchita, whether the intent at the time that he purchased it was for plowing purposes or teshech. And the difference is if he intended to plow, then nachin is a problem. You can't plow with a wild animal. But if intended for shechita, then it's not a problem, like we once discussed before. You plan on shechting it, this nachin is not going to be a mum. It's not grounds for a mekach tois. So now we're not sure what the intent was. That means we're not sure. It's a suffix if there should be a mekach tois here. Kegoin. Now why are we misupik what he purchased it for? Kegoin, shu adam shu koina lazeh lozeh. It's a type of a person who sometimes buys lecharisha, sometimes he buys lechita. So we don't know. We cannot tell from the type of lokeach what his intent was. V'gam eino chacha b'domin. And also we cannot prove from the price, from the sale price, which is another principle which we're going to get into. There's such a thing called domin mudiyim, that sometimes the price will imply what the intent was. And here we don't have it. V'gam eino chacha b'domin. Why? Kigoyin, it was talking about occasion. Yisiyake ha-basa b'dmei shor l'charisha. Where the price for regular basa, the price for shechita animal, an animal you want for shechita, is the same price as an animal for charisha. So now you don't have any proof from the amount, from the sale price. You don't have any proof from the minig of the lekech. Everything is, all things are equal. Then eino mekach tois, it's not a mekach tois. Even though it's a suffix, it's not a mekach tois. Why? Because the mecha, which is muchzik, the mecha already was paid. The mecha ketainush, he's muchzik, he has a cheskut moment. Sheyacholoyim l'shechita mechartit. I sold it to you for shechita. So, I taina, we don't know what you purchased it for. You claim you bought it for charisha and it's a mekach tois. I claim I sold it to you for shechita and it's not a mekach tois. So we have a simple klal of a meitzim mekaveri olavarai. You already paid me, I'm muchzik in the money, and you want to claim that it's a suffix if it's a mekach tois or not, I'm meitzim mekaveri olavarai. That's simple. Here comes. Avop. Now here it's the meitzim like the machab. Avop shoroiv koinim lecharisha. Even if there's a roiv that supports the lokeach, that he purchased it for Karisha, so Lechayrit should be Mekach Tois, still the Meicha is going to win. Why? Because you cannot invoke this concept, you cannot use this klal of Roiv against a Cheskes Mamon. If the Meicha is Muksik Nemani and the Lekech has a Roiv supporting him, and Hokum the Mamon Acha Roiv, the Roiv is going to lose out. So to hear, even though the lokeach has a roiv supporting on his side, since the meicha is muchzik, and hokun b'maman acharoiv, and the meicha is going to win. So there's one klal of en hokun b'maman acharoiv. Let's just continue, we're going to go back to it. Alav madaina mois b'yad lokeach, but if the mois is still in the lokeach, so now the tables are turned, the lokeach is muchzik, and the money, loy niboy, not only im rubim koinim lecharisha, if there's a roiv supporting the lokeach, so now he has a muchzik in the money, and he has a roiv supporting him that he purchased it for charisha, and it's a mekach tois. Elafilu ki adodi ninu. Even if it's 50-50, if some purchase it for charisha and some purchase it for shechita, but since he's the muchzik, since the lokeach is the muchzik, hamoiti mekavera olav arayim. The lokeach will win, hamoiti mekavera olav arayim, and he need not pay. He ketaina that he intended to buy it for charisha, and it's a mekach tois. And he doesn't have to pay. All he does is give back this animal back to the seller. So here you have a klal of ein hokum b'maman acharoiv, which will stop, which will prevent the lokeach from tining a mekach tois against the meicha. It's meduyik rad in the mechaba that in the inverse case, when the lokeach was muchzik, the lokeach will only win if A, the roiv supports him. So now he has two advantages. He has a roiv and a chazaka. Or B, it's ki adodi nino, it's 50-50, and he's muksik in the money. So again, since he's muksik, I'm saying mekaveh olav araya. The mechaber should have said even more. The mechaber should have said, even if the roiv akoina l'shchita, which will support the meicha, since the tables are turned and the lokeach is muksik, let's apply this concept, ein hokum b'maman acharoiv, the other way around. Say, you want to be meitzi mamon for me, I'm the lokeach, and you want to say that I purchased it for shchita, and it's a roiv taka who purchased it for shchita. But let's say, since I'm muksik in the money, and okun b'mamon acharoyv, and I need not pay you. Why is it mavua, at least mashman and mechaba, that had there been a roiv to support the meicha would win, and it would be able to be meitzim mamon from the lokeach. Not like the inverse case, where the lokeach who has a roiv cannot use the roiv to be meitzim mamon from the meicha. Which is, this is the million-dollar question on this sif. Came out every achron and every tshuva who discusses these concepts of hokum mamon acharoyv and discuss the sif as this kasha. It's a bomb kasha. And see if he's going to do, yeah. Yeah, he says it's lav dafka, but it's, yeah. The only thing is that the Rishonim and Mavuah, and it's not just here, we could apply to, we had a sif before in Sif Chaf Aleph, which talks about Zroyim also, where there were two applications. Either you can purchase it for achil or you can purchase it for planting. And over there too, it talks about, again, enokum b'mamon acharoyv, it sort of alludes to it, but it says that if the lokeach had not yet paid, and he was supported that he had the arroyv on his side for planting purposes, then he need not pay, because he has a double advantage, he's muksik, and he has arroyv saying that it was done mazriya, so he had a right to plant it. Which again, it's mavur that had there been arroyv on the seller's side, that it was meant, it was intended to eating, and he decided to plant, and it didn't grow, and he would tie a mekach toys, it's not a mekach toys, and the seller could be meitzi mamon from the lokeach, and the Tesis Rit says it mafurish over there, that if there's a roiv on the side of the seller, he could be meitzi mamon from the lokeach. So, this is the problem. Do we say in hokum b'mamon acharoyv, or don't we? How come? And the Lashon Mechab is also much like that. The Lashon Mechab is, v'lo yezlinim basar ruba. Now, he should have just stopped. The Laitzi, he should have said. He said, lo yezlinim basar ruba, laitzi mi'ad ha-meicha. From the meicha, no. Then you can't use a roiv. But he says, but to be meitzi mi'ad ha-lokeach, you could use a roiv. And this is the problem here. How do we understand the difference? And really, it's lachayah based on... Right, but ain't hokum mamon acharoyv mean? Well, let me hold off. This is really totally, the answer to this question, this million-dollar question, is really totally, and what do you say to avoid ain't hokum mamon acharoyv? You mentioned that the roiv is other than chazaka. Well, this is the problem that the Rishonim have to deal with. And there are basically two mahalchim in the Rishonim, why ain't hokum mamon acharoyv? One simple mahalch is that even though maybe in other chazakas roiv is better, but a cheskes mamon is stronger than a roiv, and enokum b'mamon acharoyv means because a cheskes mamon is better. Forget, cheskes mamon overrides the roiv. Enokum b'mamon acharoyv is because the roiv is going against a cheskes mamon. Now that's clear that we're talking about only against a cheskes mamon. It means if the item would be in the third party's hand and there is no cheskes mamon, of course we would apply the roiv. Right, the whole concept altogether in Hokum Mamon Acharoyv is only because it's going against the Cheskes Mamon. But what I'm trying to say is that these Rishonim say that Cheskes Mamon is stronger than a roiv, contrary to, let's say, other Chazakas in Shas. That's one shot in the Rishonim.
Then it wouldn't be a chiluk,
like Lokeach. Then there should not be a chiluk between the Moichah and the Lokeach. Correct. And that's a problem. Now there's going to be another shot in the Rishonim, which is the Rashbam's shot and the Mokyetzit's shot, is that, no, a roiv and a Chazakah, a roiv and Cheskes Mamon really cancel each other out. They're equally strong. They try to use it with what you're talking about, the dynamics of how to apply with all the other concepts of roiv against chazak and ksuvis and other places, and the Yeshua goes into it. But basically, they hold cheskes mamon and roiv are exactly even, and they cancel each other out. So how come in hokum mamon acharoyv? So they say that because there's another concept involved, and that is that when you sell something at the time of the mechira, and it was done stam, it was a mechira stam, we don't know what the intent of the purchase was. Was it for this use, for that use? Well, unless you specify and you limit the use, so you limit the application, we have to assume there's a wider understanding of what this sale was done for. And therefore, in other words, they say that it's havele lelokech lefarish. If the lekech wanted to say that he intended it only for Harisha purposes, or let's say by the Zroim case, he only wanted it for Zroim purposes, then he would have to say that lehedi. He would have to stipulate in the Tanai of the Mechira that he wants it for these purposes. And in absence of such a stipulation, then the seller will always have an upper hand to dictate how the sale should go through. It means what they really did here is say that a roiv and chazak are equal, and they created a new concept saying that in doubt, when there's an unknown and something not stipulated in a contract, the seller has the upper hand.
If only it's a roiv against the lokeach, but we said hadari, then he doesn't have to do parsha.
No, forget. I'm saying that once they cancel out and everything is even, then we have this new concept that the buyer has to stipulate. And in absence of any stipulation, the seller will have the right to dictate what the sale was done.
That's not what the Machaber says. If it's a godi, then the kech wins out.
Let me, I didn't get the Shulchan Aruch yet. One second, let me first get the concept. Okay, that means they created a new understanding. It means really the Roy Mechizkas moment is a wash. Now everything is even, and everything's even, now the seller has this new thing. So let's go back to the ratio of the Machaber. Of Enochim v'mamanach Aruch. Well, our question is what the kinyan was done. Was it done for this oifen? Was it done for that oifen? So therefore we have a concept of, which the Machaber is going to say, Enochim v'mamanach Aruch. Let me just apply and then we'll get to answer the question. I'm not even getting to answer the question. I just want to give you the two starting. One shot holds that a roiv is weaker than a cheskas mam, a cheskas mam, and it's better than a roiv. And the other shot holds, no, they really cancel each other out. And the reason why, the lokeh cannot get back his money from the seller is because since everything is equal, because they canceled each other out, the seller has a right to dictate how the sale was done, and he has a right to say, I did it for shechita purposes, and therefore, ein hokum b'mamanach aruch. That means had we said ein hokum b'mamanach aruch, had we said a roiv is better than a cheskas mamon, then avada the roiv would have been able to be moitzi from the moicha. But since ein hokum b'mamanach aruch and everything is equal, they cancel each other out. Now we're back to the drawing board where the seller always wins. When everything is equal, the seller wins. He has the right to stipulate how the sale was done. So now, like the second pshat, it's pretty easy how to answer up this tira, because when the tables are turned, and you have a roiv now supporting the seller, and you have a cheskas mamon supporting the buyer, again, the roiv and chazaka cancel each other out, and back to the drawing board that the seller has the right to dictate what the intention of the sale was. So therefore, that itself would be enough to be meitzi mamon from the lekeach, because the cheskas mamon or lekeach really doesn't help him anymore, because to counter that, there was a roiv, they wash each other out, and the seller will win, because the seller has the right to dictate. In the case of the Machaber, when it was Kiyadodi Nino, if there is no roiv whatsoever, and there's only a cheskas mamon, then of course a cheskas mamon of the lokeach will override this new concept that they have, that the seller has first right to stipulate what the sale was done. So that's why, if it was Kiyadodi Nino, kosher can if the lokeach has a roiv supporting him, but even if it's Kiyadodi Nino and there is no roiv, that's out of the equation, and all we're left with is a cheskas mamon, so I'm meitzi mekavel of a rai, and you cannot be meitzi mamon from the lokeach. But if there's a roiv to support the seller, now there's a roiv on the seller side and a cheskas mamon on the buyer side, they cancel each other out in that wash, they cancel each other out, and now the seller will win and be able to be meitzi. And that's what the Machaber says, lo izlina basaruba lo haitzi miyad amaycha. The only time you don't go about the roiv is to be meitzi miyad amaycha, but forget if the meich would like to be meitzi miyad lokeach, we would go basa roiv. Okay, I'm going to get to that in a second. That will help for the other. That's what the Rishonim say. Why is that the case? They say since it was done stam, and you're coming to buy his item, if you want it for a specific use, for some reason the burden is on you more than the meich. That they don't explain. But that's what they say. So basically, if you hold like the Rashbam, that it's a wash, it's pretty simple. The question is, what do you do with like Ravi, or probably Ravi Shainim will say that Enochim Mamanach Aruch means that the Cheskas Mamon is stronger than a Roiv. So how come when the Lekeach has a Cheskas Mamon, how come the Roiv of the seller could override and be Meitim Yad HaLekeach? That is a problem here. And I would suggest a pshat that sort of the people here were alluding to. It's based on the Ra'am Baba Kama. The Ra'am says the following. That when do we say in Hokum b'mamanach aroiv is when a roiv is going against a cheskas mamon, a real cheskas mamon. Now there's another concept in Shiva Sharei, but there's a concept in Shas called tfisa. It's tafis. You're not on the geder. You don't have the daga of a cheskas mamon. It's not like you have a chazaka on your side. It just happens to be the money is in your possession. So in doubt, we leave the money by you. And that's a milah called tefisa. But you don't have a chazaka like other chazakas, which say, for some reason, since it's by you, it must be yours. Right? Normally, cheskas mamon, the svar of cheskas mamon is like all other chazakas, that somehow the cheskas mamon says, is pesha to suffer, that it must be your money. If the money is by you, it must be your money. That's a cheskas mamon, and a roiv against a cheskas mamon is better. But let's say you don't have a cheskas mamon. You don't have this concept saying that if it's by you, it must be yours. It's just, we taka don't know, but since it's by you, we're not going to be mighty mamon. We're not going to change the location. We're not going to remove the money out of your possession because we don't know. And it's a suffix, so we leave it by you. That's a gether called tafis. It's less than a cheskas mamon. And against them, this darga of tafis, the roiv will be able to be mighty. That's a mashma in the Rambam Baba Kama and others as well. Now the question is here, how do we get it down to a tafis? Well, the following, and basically what you were trying to allude to, is that as here we know that there was a sale. There was already a sale took place. So we know at one point in time, yesterday, the lekeach owed the meicher money. We don't know if there was a mekach tois and he could undo the damage and can undo that whole chiv. But we have a cheskas chiv till today. There was a cheskas chiv that the lekeach owes the seller money. Well, since there was already a cheskas chiv in motion that he owes the seller money, now that he has money in his possession, he's no longer muchzik in the money for the targa of a cheskas mamon. Because since he definitely owes that money to somebody else, he's only lowered now to a darga of tefisa. He's tefis in the money, but he's not mux. I lent you last week $100, and you say you don't recall anything. You don't recall ever seeing me last week. Certainly you didn't borrow money from me. You don't think so. You're not sure. And I'm a definite, I know for sure I lent you $100. It's a bari v'shema. And you're not sure if you even owed it to begin with. It's a bari v'shema. Any adem is chayafti. The halach is, the shema is odif. I cannot be mighty mamon just on my say-so. Your muktzik in the money, your cheskas mamon wins. Now what happens if we know for sure you owed me money last week? We both agree, yes, last week you borrowed $100, but you think that you paid me back. You misopik. And I say, no, I know for sure you didn't pay me back. So now that the bari v'shema, whether you paid me back, whether you satisfied this obligation, whether you satisfied your cheskas chiv, there, bari v'shema, bari is adif. And the reason is, you don't have a cheskas mamon anymore because you definitely owe me money. You owed me money at one point in time. You don't know if you satisfied that obligation. It's true the money is sitting by you, so you tak a tafis on the money, but a bari v'shema on stama tfisa, bari v'shema would be bari adif in such a formula. Because there's a cheskas chiv coming my way saying the money is owed to me. So too here. When you purchased something yesterday, at that point in time, you made a deal, you made a kinyan on my item, you definitely owe me money. So now you have a cheskas chiv coming my direction. What's the problem? The problem is that you say that maybe it's a mekach tois and retroactively you're going to undo that whole deal. And you're not sure. You don't know. Well, it is an unknown. If you purchase it for shechita, if you purchase it for radio, so we don't know if it's going to be a mekach tois or not. So now what do you have? You have a cheskas chiv coming my way, and I have a roiv. So even though the money is by you, but it's only like a level of tefisa, so my roiv would be able to be mighty mamon from you, because here we would invoke the concept of roiv to override this tefisa. It's not a real cheskas money. Mamon. The other way around, when the lekeach is trying to get back his money from the meicher, there the seller has a real cheskas mamon. He paid money, it was money which was due and owed to the seller. He really deserves to have the money. Now you want to undo the deal and claim he has to refund you the money. Well, now you don't know if the seller owes you back the money altogether. He has a cheskas mamon, you have a roiv, and hokum b'mamonach roiv, and a roiv cannot be mighty from a cheskas mamon. So basically, these are the two pshatim. Is a cheskas mamon stronger than a roiv, or they equaled out? And depending on those two pshatim, that's how you're going to have to learn a pshat in why there's a difference between a lokeach and a meicher. Now, there are many other pshatim in the Mechaba. I'm not going to get into it. I just wanted to give you the two basic yisaitis, because this concept, these klolim are really used throughout. You can have a roiv cheskas mamon, not just here. It could be on all types of mekach tois. It could be on so many different cases we're going to go throughout Chayshim Mishpat, and it's kedai to understand the mechanics and the dynamics of it. Any questions on this before I go further? Okay. The lekeach is like an eni adam pratika because at one point in time, yesterday, he zecha owed the money because he purchased the item. And now he doesn't know if he has a right not to pay because maybe he wants to undo the deal and say that he never owed the money in the first place. But That's Gufa Nadana. We don't know if he could undo that Mechira, even though retroactively, if he does the Mechira, he never owed it in the first place. That's true. But given in time, we have a Vade that he owes money. At one point in time, he definitely owed money. And now you don't know to undo that. Are you going to undo that Choyv to say, to get out of it? So that's a sort of a Cheskos Chiv. It weakens your Cheskos Mamin on it. And therefore, a Roiv should be able to override and be Maitzi Mamin.
What's the Shema on the Shema in that case?
In which case?
Where he doesn't
name his name Pratikah. Hashem Bashem, any name is going to be Pata.
And Pata. So here, they're both Shem. I mean, the Moshe doesn't know for sure that he sold the Karag. I mean, that he bought it, correct?
Correct, but the Moshe has a Roiv. So since he has a Roiv supporting him, a Roiv is better than Stam at Fisa. Because since his Cheskos Mamon is weakened, he has a Cheskos Chiv, so now he doesn't need the Taina. There is a Machlokes we showed him here going on. What happens is they're both Bari, they're both Shem, it's Bari Vishem, and the Machaba seemingly is not Machalik between the two. In a normal situation, I would assume the Lokeach knows what he purchased it for, but the seller doesn't know what he sold it for. That would look hard to be the normal situation. But the Machaba is not Machalik between the two, but it is a Machlokes we showed him. Basically, so getting back to here, we have a concept, a very important concept called Ein Hokum B'Mamon Acharoyv. That's the first concept, really, of this Mechava. We're going to have two other concepts we're going to be introduced right now. Let's continue. Vima Lokeach, Einu Ragu Liknois Ela LeCharisha. If Lokeach only purchased it for Charisha, Vameicha Makira, and the Meicha recognizes his minik, he knows that he is a farmer, and he knows that he always purchases animals to plow. So Areza Mekach Tois. That alone is enough. That's alone enough proof for Mekach Tois. Why? It's not just proof, but it really stipulates what the Mechir was done for. Because since he purchased this item, and he himself is a farmer, and I see a farmer walking into my store and I sell him a shor, what do you think he's using the shor for? The shech? Obviously he's using it to plow with, and if that's a given, we know that it's self-understood. We don't even have to stipulate that. That's put into the mekach by itself. Yeah, we're going to get to it. Yes. Yes, we're going to get to it. That itself is enough to prove what the Lokeach purchased it for. It was built in that he purchased it for Charisha, and therefore it's grounds for Mekach Tois. So we have a concept of what the regilis of the Lokeach, what his normal custom is. I'm going to get back to it in a minute, but I want to introduce you to a third concept. V'meinu raga liknas ela l'shchita. If he only purchased it normally for shechita, you know he's a butcher, he comes into your shlachtos, into, I don't know, your you know where you buy animals from, but whatever it is, he goes there and he's a butcher, and you know clearly the reason why he's purchasing this item is for shechita, then again, even if he had not yet paid, you could be mighty mammon from him and say, you purchase it for l'shchita, because that's the type of person you are. You're a butcher. What else are you going to purchase this animal? You're a sheikhid. Obviously, you're purchasing this animal for shechita. However, the muragu liknois l'shchita ula charisha. If he normally purchases it saif l'shchita saif l'charisha, then emyesha chacha b'damim. Now here's a third concept called damim l'dim. If you could prove from the price of the sale and nothing to meishar l'charisha, which was typically more expensive than shal l'shchita, if you paid the higher price, the more expensive price, which means that he was zikha buying it for Charisha, oimim l'charisha kano. That itself dictates, obviously, he purchased it for Charisha, v'avi mekach tois. V'im nosim to meishar l'shchita, oimim l'shchita kano, and if he paid the shchita price, then obviously he purchased it for shchita. So now these are two more concepts thrown in here, which is A, the regilis of the lakeach, what he typically purchased it for, and B, domim udim, if the price could dictate, the price can somehow notify us and give us a tip of what he was really buying it for. Now, what happens if you have these three principles? You have a principle of Roiv, you have a principle of Domim Medim, and you have a principle of Regilis of a Lokeach. Let's say two of them out of the three apply and they are face of each other. What do you do? Which takes precedence? Well, you see from the Mechaba that he only says you go Batsa Roiv if everything is equal. He starts off with an introduction. There's no Achaka B'Domim, and also there's no Regilis of the Lokeach because he buys from both. Then we'll apply the concept of Roiv. But he says if any of the other two are there, we ignore this whole Roiv business and we just say what your Regilis is or what the sale price is. And so too, you have a Deacon in the Mechaba. What happens if you'll have a Stira? In the one hand, let's say you normally typically purchase it, you're a farmer, you purchase it for Charisha, but Dhamma Mudim says that you purchase it for Shechita. If that collides, what do? Well, the Mechaba seemingly says, again, you go back to the Regilis of the Lokeach. It's only after there is no Regilis of the Lokeach, then he invokes this concept of Dhamma Mudim. So the most the strongest principle here is the regilis of the lokeach. And the Mechaba points out the Moichah Makira. The Moichah had to know that at the time of the seal. If he was a farmer, but he dressed up with his tie and a suit and walked in there like a normal person, and he comes into my shop, I have no idea who he was, and I sold it to him, and later on he could have 100 Eidim proving he's a farmer, that will not help him. Because at the time of the seal, it was an unknown, it was a Mechiris Tam, and I don't know why we purchased it. I know, now I know that there are Eidim saying that you must have intended it for farming purposes, but that doesn't mean that's what I sold it to you for. Since it was a stam in the Mechira, I'm going to win, and I have a right to dictate, like we said before, even if it's stam, I'm muksik, and I could. I relied on the fact that I was muksik to know that I was really selling it to you for shechita. But if I knew you were a farmer, you came in overalls, whatever, you look like a farmer, and you came in, must be a farmer, clearly, even if I don't say and you don't say, clearly the intention was for farming purposes. So the number one, the most important klal here, is the regilis of the lokeach. The second klal is damim madim. And the third klal is roiv and cheskas mamin, and so on. Now, getting back to here, I'll give you a simple case of what's considered a regilis of a lokeach, and where it can make a nafkamina. And it's interesting, you can have a nafkamina between a husband and a wife. You go into a store, and then you hopefully get to it later on, Rish Lama Dalit more, but as you walk into a store, you walk into ShopRite and you purchase something, and you come home and it's treif. Now you want to go back to ShopRite and claim it's a nekach tois. Let's assume that ShopRite would work with your nekach tois. There could be other nafkaminas as well, you needed to create a nekach tois. And you want to claim it's a nekach tois. Well, if you walked into the store and you look like a yid, and ShopRite knows they're selling it to a yid, and they know that a yid keeps kosher, so they know they have to sell you a kosher product, then you could say, yes, it was an upmark, even though you didn't specify at the time you purchased it, you're buying a dafka because it's kosher food, but it's a given, we could say it's a given, it's actually one step past this case, but let's just apply this case. It is a given, you purchased it, you were purchasing kosher food, it was purchased for home consumption, and you can't eat it, it's treif, it doesn't serve your purpose, and it would be a mekach tois. Had your wife purchased the food, and she has a good sheitel, and they don't know that she's a yid b'chas, and it won't be a mekach tois, ShopRite has a right to say, look, I didn't know that you were Jewish, I thought I was selling you even treif for food, and that would be just fine, even though we know that you're a yid, and we know that you only wanted kosher food, it's irrelevant. At the time of the sale, ShopRite saw a customer in front of them, could be anybody, and therefore they sold it on any terms they like, even if it's treif for food. And that's gemina could be if you have no right to do business with treif for food in certain severe situations. Let's say Syria, no, we're going to get to it in Reish Lama Dalit. You have no right to do business, and once you purchase it, even if they have a good customer policy and they would like to take it back, you would not have a right to give it back to them, because that's in essence doing business with ShopRite with treif for food or Isurei Ano. Because really they don't have to claim a mekach tois, really they could say they can enforce a mechira, and even though they would like to honor your request and exchange it for you, but that exchange process is basically they're buying it back, and they don't have to do that, and you might not be allowed to sell it back to them on certain severe situations. But that could be a simple nafkamina if you know the you have so many applications like that. That the truth is, have it, you bought a suit and it was shatnez. You could have v'chena, a lot of these applications, and I'm sure if you think about it, you can get into today's world as well. Day-to-day things that if the minig of the customer, then that will dictate what the sale was done. In absence of that, then price could be a pointer. For example, let's say we once discussed this, I sell you a car, and it's a used car. Now, the used car is for $4,000, and a used car for $400. And I sell you a used car for $400, and you come back to me, well, the window doesn't work 100%, it should be a mekach tois. Yeah, it could be if you purchase a car for $4,000, that might be grounds for a mekach tois, but when you purchase a used car for, let's say, $400, I'm just making up these numbers, we can argue that if you purchased it at $400, obviously it's not going to be the best car in the market. Otherwise, you wouldn't have been only paying $400. The price itself dictates what type of car you were getting. There was such a truva about a horse. When you purchased a horse and they found a mum, and the Geisa Shri says, well, Dama Medim, you paid so little for that. Obviously, you knew there was something inherently wrong with this item. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been so cheap. And therefore, it's understood that if you're buying a terribly used car, the window might not work 100%.
You're making with this giving bag out to make a toys. ShopRite knows this thing is mekach tois. ShopRite gives you, most stores, you pay a store for, you buy a shop, you go to Macy's, you buy a store, I don't care. They don't make a toys. I don't want it. They give you back your money.
It's a 30-day money-back guarantee.
Now, let's make a difference.
Okay, that itself... That itself, Grada, is a Shaila amongst the Achronim, when a store has such a policy, is that pshat that they really have a policy, they'll buy it back for you, no questions asked, or are they undoing the mechira initially? No, but you have to know how the dynamics work.
You want to look at it, but who says they look at it?
So how do they look at it? How is that policy structured? That it's a that they retroactively uprooted the mechira?
I would say no. You say there's some stores ask you why do you want to return it.
Let's say no question asked. But what? How does it go back from your riches to the seller's riches?
They don't have you as the vendor. They have the original vendor.
Okay. So if they retroactively, let me throw you a bomb, it's really not for tonight, but if you hold that it's a dove poshet, then when you have a 30-day money-back guarantee, no questions asked, it's really uprooting the mechir initially, and really the money that you gave them all along with tam ha'avah by them, then basically a Yiddish store to do this will have severe, severe ribbit shilas. Because basically what you're doing now is saying that I never purchased the item, it was really ha'avah by you all along, and I had usage from it the last 30 days, and even to create such a deal, even to walk into such a store and purchase from such a store, might be even as a rivis. So I don't mind you taking on that side, it's a very good side. You're now allowed to have hana for free, you're not allowed to have anything benefit from it if you have... If I lend you money and therefore you lend me an item of yours, that's an Isaribis.
But Sutai, where is Isaribis?
We gave him money.
I gave him money, right? I gave money at the time of the sale, and now I'm using it. I mentioned this recently to someone. I'm not passing like this. I'm just throwing out that there is a serious ribbish shiloh that you're going to have to deal with. Which they do deal with it, and it's not partial that they have an eitzah with this. But I mentioned this to someone this week, and he said, "Oh, that's a limus chus. How come Lakewood stores don't offer this policy?" Truth be told, they have valid reason for that policy. All right, let's get back to us. What happens if you order barley from a store and it's delivered? And then you notice that it's not Yoshin. And you're makpin on Yoshin. Do you have a right to tiny mekach toys? Probably in Lakewood, there's still a roiv who are not makpin on Yoshin. And therefore, loy mi boy, if you already paid, you don't have a right to get back your money. But even if you did not yet pay, like we said before, it's maduik na machaba, that here, for some reason, we do use a roiv to be meitzi mamon miyad alakeach. So the seller would have a right to say, you got to pay me anyway because you didn't specify that you're makpin on Yoshin. Obviously, however, if the seller knows the minig, the regulus of the lokeach, that this lokeach is makben on yashon, then in a chanami, that itself will be a mekach tois regardless of the roiv or not, like we said before, that's the number one principle, the regulus of the lokeach. And of course, the mekach makirai. What happens if you're in Flatbush and you order a jar of milk, and it comes out that it was delivered in its chalav stam, it's not chalav Yisrael, and there's a roiv or a makben on chalav Yisrael? Well, there, since there's a roiv, if you did not yet pay, you won't have to pay. You can tie him back to you're part of the roiv, you're makben on Chalav Yisrael, and it's not going to do for you. However, if you already paid, then you're going to have a problem, because since there's a meat who are not makbid, the meicher will have a right to tie that you're min a meat, and it's not a mekach tois, unless, of course, he's makir that you're makben on Chalav Yisrael. The reason why I mentioned such a case in Flatbush and not in the case in Lakewood is because nowadays in Lakewood, I would say virtually every single person is makben on the Chol of Yisrael. And therefore, that's not considered like a roiv and a meat. There's b'chal no meat. Even if there are one or two beer, the Kavasyon and the Chuvas and Kavav says that they don't count. They're bottom. In order to have a raven and a meat, you have to have a meat kosher. So if you have a case like that in Lakewood and someone delivered Chalav Stam, that will be a vadim mekach tois no matter what. Because the minig is that everyone is makben on Chol Yisrael, and even if he had paid, he would have a right to tana mekach tois and get back his money. Why isn't that the better raya?
He sees the count of $4, he knows that that isn't going to be worth anything. Like you're going to press the car. Why does Rikiva take precedence over Dumb Rikiva?
Your story is just as good as mine, but the mice, in fact, there are Tanoim or Edaks and Rishonim who are not even sure if Dumb and Medim work altogether. In fact, the Rambam leaves out the whole Dumb and Medim. obviously it's a weaker concept. We could say that maybe you were trying to give the person a maton or give him a good deal or whatever it is. It's lav davka raya what your application was. But why is that punkt? I don't know. I can't tell you. But that's, we have to walk away to know that that's true. That the regilis of lokeach, if I was not get the regilis of lokeach, that takes precedence over.
You're not going to move it. You're just going to take it on, try it on, and then bring it back. So would that be a problem with this too?
Oh, we really tonight's at rivets, but if you don't have any anor from it, then it wouldn't be rivets. But the whole creating such a deal that you have 30 days, even if you never return it. Let's say I never go back to the store, I make up my mind, I'm not going to use that poly, I never go back to my, it's still a nesser rivets. The tonight itself is rivets. And I'll make that kitzitza. And it's a problem. I'm not going to get into it tonight. It's not rivets tonight. But it's something that you have to work with. It's a very interesting question. I don't have any raya. I mean, no one I know discusses, can we say that it's a raya from the meaning of what this means? If you'll have a steer, you'll have a shlachtos, who I guess generally sell it for shchit, and a farmer walks in, how do you do it? I don't know. And I would have to look it up. I don't know.
They sell all types.
And you can have cars, and you can have this for, there are, let me just throw out different ways to apply this. You have cars, for example, if you sell a car, might not be so negative, but if you sell a car and for some reason the cars in Los Angeles, let's say, last longer than the cars in the puddles of New York, so again, you would have this, I was selling it with the intention to be used over there and not to be used over here. And you have a lot of items that the person says, well, I sold it to you and I understood that you were going to not wash it or in hot water, or you're not going to do this with that, or you weren't going to do that with that, you weren't going to leave it out in extreme temperatures. I sell you a pair of tefillin. That's a good example. I sell you a pair of tefillin and later on you want to tell me it's a mekach tois because the bottoms are starting to open up. And I say, well, did you ever leave it in the car that's in the back windshield or in the trunk? And you say, sure, you do it every day. You go to Shakras and then you leave it in the car on the way to work. That's not why I sold you the pair of tefillin, right? It could be a mekach tois because of that. And you would have to know what the understanding of, maybe the deal was, if you stipulated, I am going to leave it in my trunk, and it's supposed to withstand extreme temperatures of heat, then it wouldn't be then it would be grounds for mekatois. And if you have a mixed understanding of what the deal was, you would have to work it out like that. You have a lot of these examples that there are certain applications, why I sold it to you. Yeah, sure, I sold you that fixture, but that fixture was intended for indoor usage and not for outdoor usage. I'm sure v'chein, you have a lot of these examples that there are dual applications, could be, and the seller intended for one thing and the buyer intended for the other. Okay, let me just phrase here with the Ramah. Hagah, kol mokim, da'avi mekach tois, anytime it's a mekach tois, v'tzarech lachzor lo'domav, and you have to give back the money, v'is le'zuzi, and the seller has money, tzarech litim lo'imoyis, da'avi kebalchoy, if he must give back money. He cannot give back shavu kesef. He can't say, no problem, I owe you $100. I'm a soap manufacturer, I'll give you a whole case worth of soap worth $100. He cannot do that. Even though by other times, let's say by Ganev and Mazik, he could do that. By over here, by a hilchos of a Baal Koyv, he cannot do that. Duloy ki yeshrem, and not like others who said, yocholitan lo karka, he could give back karka, matalton kol shekein, shavu kesef instead of money. No, he must give back money. The reason why the Ramah is bringing it over here, even though it really applies to the whole simon, but it's really learned out from this case. Because the case before was, one of the cases were, is that the mechira for shchit and charisha, the price was the exact same price, but I normally, I'm a farmer, and I walked in there and I say, I want to claim mekach tois. So you have to understand, what's the purpose? Why am I coming back to the seller saying mekach tois? What's the chilek between the shalach harisha and shalach lishkita? It's both worth $100. I paid $100, so why am I giving back the shah and getting back $100? So the Gemara really addresses the problem. The Gemara says, because I don't want to be busy, okay, doesn't want to be busy with the tikkah trying to sell this item, he'd rather give it back to the seller and just get back his money. But does he have the right to do that? Is totally on this halacha. If you say that what's coming to you is a refund of your money, so the seller can't say, I want to stick you with this shar, which is, it's worth the same price, shar l'shchit is also worth $100, let me stick you with this shar v'kesef. That he cannot say, because I'm entitled to get back my money and not shar v'kesef. Had I been not entitled, that means if I couldn't afford to, let's say like this Yeshayimim, that I could get back even Shavu Kesef, then technically you could say, what's a chilek to you? I'll give you, you know what, I owe you $100. I'll give you this shard, this wild shard, that will be your $100. And those Rishonim have to learn, the only reason why you have a right to get back your money is because your money which you gave the seller is intact, was never spent, and it's still be'en. Then you could say, I want back my money, and you can't stick me with the shah. But if let's say the seller used the money on something or mixed it up with his money, he has no idea where your money is anymore, then he'd have a right to stick you with the shah because of the shah of the shechita. It's the first sheet who holds that he never has that right. You're always entitled to get refund of your money, and therefore he can never give you back the shor, and you have a right to get money.
How do you know the shor is speaking this? The shor is speaking here where the thing the shor gets that you're giving back is not the actual thing that the back is
for. No, it could be. It's a run out from the sigur. The sigur is talking about the actual item.
Okay, good. I can give you back Shavuot, but I want to get rid of the Mekhtayt.
But if I give you Mekhtayt, and I give you back the Shavuot back in your possession, now you can go ahead and give it back to me, Batari Shavuot Kesef. Is it worth $100? You can give me soap for that matter. You can give me anything you want. Well, if it's worth the same amount, we're talking about, let's say, the case of one case of Makaba was that Shor Lishchit and Shor Leradi, Lecharisha, was worth the same amount. So in that case, why can't the seller just turn around and stick me with that item? Teretz is because he has no right. I'm entitled to money. And that means the Makaba holds over here, the Ramah, that is, holds over here, that is Kibar Choyv. Sorry? And if Duloiki Eshema. Let me give you a different case. Let's say I bought a chair from you and the chair was defective. And you owe me $100 because of the chair. And you hold like the Yeshayim and I say, no, give me back $100 for the chair. You say, no problem. Here's the Shor L'Shechita, which is worth $100. Take a Shor instead. You have that right. So if I buy a Shor L'Charisha and it came out L'Shechita and it's magnetized, I give it back and then you just stick it back to me with Tari Shor V'Kesef. Here is the Shor L'Shechita, Shor V'Kesef. Anything. I can give you I can give any item, you know, if it's diamonds, if it's anything you want, you can give the guy back a Shor V'Kesef and stick him. You have a bad stone you can't get rid of and it has a value, just stick him with it. Here, this is you owe me $1,000. I owe you $1,000. Here's the stone. And call to you don't sell stones, you're not interested in a stone, Shor V'Kesef. Dr. Ramon, no, I have a right. It's the Dino Kibar Choyv and I have a right to mon back money.
I think the original Mechir was done with Shor V'Kesef.
I hear the Ramah doesn't make mechalak. I hear your shala. I don't know.
It may be true that in the marketplace, Kavisha is the same, but a shor with the Zogaya is worth less. It's in that shor, it's worth less. Right? In the marketplace, Kavisha and Shita may be the same. But this shor is a going shor.
I know, but. Why wouldn't you want a goring shor? If you buy it for shechita and for shechita purposes, a goring shor doesn't make a difference. So I would assume that the value is the same.
Right? For me, it's worth less because
No, but someone who's buying it for shechita, will he pay $100 for the shor even though it's
going? Even though it's going shor.
Yes. So that is the market. He doesn't. For him, it doesn't make a difference that it chases or not. So that is the market. That happens
even
to be the number.
For him, it's not worth that much. Even though the etzim is not worth that much. So it goes by the market.
Okay. All right, let's stop here. Baruch Hashem, we learned through the whole Siman Reish Lamed Beis. I would have liked to cover the topic of Dama Madim or Barichis and give you the guidelines. I am going to, Mit Hashem, cover it next week. It's Nogeh to Siman Reish Lamed Gimel. Lina, the next week when we learn Reish Lamed Gimel, we'll cover that. Thank you. Good vach.
For other tapes by Rabbi Kahan or for additional information, please contact Bezdin Meisharim at 732-905-3388. Thank you.